Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Aircoy Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Time now for The Drive with Mark Ennis on 93.9 The Ville. The Drive is brought to you by Fitness Market, Louisville's premier location for fitness equipment and in-home saunas. Online at thefitnessmarket.com. Now here's Dave Skull and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back into The Drive. I'm your host, Dave Skull, along with my good buddy, Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Yes, sir.
We're covering a lot of subjects today. We got into the kind of broader conversation about recruiting and how you have to go about it when you're in the position of a team like Louisville. I thought Tim brought up a great point.
No, Tim's good.
One that we've talked about a little before, but he kind of put it black and white, which is you have a finite amount of NIL money, and how much of it can you really commit to unproven 18-year-olds in this situation? And not to say that you forsake high school recruiting, you don't, but you have to be smart about it.
Yeah.
And you have to reserve a lot of that money for proven commodities that are going to help you right now and put you over the top.
Yeah. The only pushback I would have had to Tim's argument, especially when it came to DeAndre, those two specific recruits, those rosters are different than our roster.
Absolutely.
Right? Like you're talking
we're not saying they're going to sit here.
I think those guys would have had a much better chance of playing more. I'm not saying they would have came in and started or dominated or whatever, but having a lot more playing time, because Texas is in the national, in the Final Four.
Right.
They were one play away from being in the championship game, and Texas A&M didn't have the season they wanted. But Reuben Owens played a lot. I think he may have had the most yards, rushing yards, for any true freshman running back. So he's really good. Now, once again, we had a loaded running back room as we saw two guys get drafted, and the numbers they put up at the combine, what their potential NFL future could look like. But I think just talking about those two players particularly, I think they would have had a better chance of playing here. But I totally understand, because I think that's the mindset that our staff is taking. Because with high school recruiting, even at the highest of levels, it's still a gamble. Like, it's still a gamble. Like Ashton Gelati was a 2-star recruit, and he started as a true freshman.
And we can go over Eric Wood, those guys.
Lamar Jackson, Jair Alexander were 3-star guys.
Yep.
They ended up being all-time greats, right? Like, in being the highest paid at their positions at the NFL level.
Tell me how you look at Lamar Jackson's highlight film and watch him in person.
Yeah.
In high school, and put him at a 3-star.
It was insane.
There's a lot of politics involved in summer camps and all that kind of stuff, but same way Devontae Parker was a 3-star. You know what I mean? He played AAU ball in the summer instead of going to the football camps at the individual universities. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's kind of in 7-on-7 and doing stuff like that, where that's where you get your star ratings in football.
Yes, whereas, the Rivals camps, at the Under Armour camps, all that stuff.
Or even like Alabama's camp or Texas's camp. Whereas in basketball, it's the AAU, the AAU ranks where you get the most exposure.
Yes.
And he chose to play basketball, in the summer instead of going to the camps. And he's a 3-star, even though he has like 2,000 yards receiving and 100 touchdowns in his senior year. And Mike Jackson over at Ballard just threw to Devontae on every play.
Literally.
And he was literally triple covered, and it just didn't matter.
As the guy who played against Devontae yeah. his senior year, like we shut him down. He had three catches. Just it was for over 200 yards.
Yeah, that's right. He shut him down, but like, he still got loose.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when I was at Trinity, I had Coach Beatty for health and PE. He yeah. said the toughest guy I ever had to defend was Devontae Parker.
Because he was a freak. He's all you insane. Do is throw the ball up and he'd find a way to catch it.
And the thing is, like, his 40 time wasn't fast. Well, the first touchdown was a 90-yard screen pass.
Yeah.
Like, he just ran past everybody. He's just like, he was floating. Like, he's just floating for 90 yards. Like,
that's how Dante Smith was, too, in high school. Yeah, like, same way.
And the thing was, like, screen pass on the 10-yard line to the short side of the field, you would think everybody's there.
Yep.
Somehow, some way, it just looked like nobody was around him. And he's just floating for 90 yards for a touchdown. And then the other two passes, it was triple coverage. It was yeah. just, our guy's better than yours, and he's going to make the play that you can't.
And like, look, there's a lot of really good, like, really good high school teams in Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the difference when you have a high four-star, really five-star type player, mm-hmm. even if he was a three-star, playing against high school kids.
Yeah.
You know, this ain't Texas or Florida. Like, that's what happens. I mean, Dante was the same way at Oldham County.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he played ball. He was focused on basketball, too. But I'm telling you, Dante Smith was a better football player than he was basketball player. Like, he could have been an NFL receiver, no problem. He was 6'5", 230, and just absolutely, like, you know, unbelievable ball skills.
Yeah, it's just funny we're going down this high school thing. The most talented player was Devontae we ever played against. Yeah. Never mind,
he was unbelievable.
But the best player was James Quaid.
Yeah,
without question, like when he was in high school, it was insane. Like, so he started for Trinity as a freshman in the playoffs. I don't think he started during the regular season. And so he made his first start like during the playoffs, and he's like the first freshman that started Trinity in like 50 yeah. years. And then by our sophomore year, we played them in state. Now, none of the sophomores on Mail, which is my class, which is the same age, played. Like, none of us played. And, like, Trinity's whole team was sophomores. It was, like, him, Ryan White, Daylon Dawkins, like, all of those guys who, like, now we know, obviously, are incredible. Our seniors were like, man, we're not going to get beat by a bunch of sophomores. Like, we get it, they're so good and blah, blah. Like, we get whatever. So, we kicked the ball off to him. Daylon is their starting kick returner. He drops it and the ball rolls out of bounds. If anybody was at the state championship game 2012 at WKU, you know what I'm talking about. If you were there, because I was there freezing my tail off, as you know, I'll get to what happened. So he drops it out of bounds on the 4-yard line. Our sideline's going crazy. Ah, like whatever, because we pinned them. They're on the 4-yard line yeah. and they got a bunch of sophomores in a state championship game against our senior laden team. And so, same thing. They throw a screen pass to James. He gets bottled up on the sideline. It's like, oh, yeah, we about to. He runs into the end zone. So, now he's reverse field. He's running. I was like, oh, we're about to get a safety. No, he was just had a 4-3, runs past everybody up the middle, 94-yard touchdown. Game was over after that. Like, it was so. Once he did that, you could just see it was over. It was like, oh, this guy's different. Yeah, they beat us 31-0. It was over. Their sophomores could beat us. And I got in the game garbage time because, you know, we were getting our tail kicked. And I got a couple of pictures from that. And those guys won 3 straight state championships. And
I remember that.
Did all that stuff. So, yeah, there was that.
Humbling
was
experience for everybody.
Very, very. But the worst thing, even worse than losing the state championship game to them, my sophomore year, my senior year, we played Trinity. Because this is when they had us all in the same region, like all in the same district.
Yeah.
It was us, Trinity, St. X, us being Male, and Manual. And so we would have to play them every year.
And I remember when they did that.
Yeah, it was so stupid. They called it the Super District or whatever. There was this rumor, leading up to our Trinity game, there was this rumor that Adidas had gave them some kind of special jerseys. This was back when, like, you know, the NFL doesn't really do it anymore, but they used to wear pink during Breast Cancer yeah. Month. Like, it was a big thing. And then you still see it here and there, but, like, during that time, the NFL...
Baseball still does.
Everybody yeah. was really, really mm-hmm. into it. Pink during October, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And there was this rumor that Adidas gave Trinity pink jerseys. And it was like, no way these effers are going to breast out these pink jerseys on us.
Yeah.
Like, during whatever. So, we were warming up during their standard green or whatever. It's like, okay, it was just a rumor or whatever. They go back to the locker room. They come out in these effing pink jerseys. These all pink jerseys. It was like, oh.
Like, they was there that night. I remember that.
They really did it. Like, these, like, they, I'd never seen that. I still, to this day, I don't, they may have only worn it that one time. To this day, I've never seen that before. A football team in all pink. Now, you see it in women's basketball.
Yeah.
But I've never seen a football team ever wear pink jerseys. All pink, like, the pink jersey. They had white pants, I think. Ever again. Like, I've never seen that before. That was probably clean, like, though. Oh, they really just, like, pooped on us with that. Like, they really just, like, they really just showed out on us. Like, that was nasty. So, yeah, that was that.
Sometimes
so.
You just got to take it.
Yeah, like, nothing we can
happened
do.
To us a lot of South Oldham, let me tell you.
There was nothing we could do. So, I mean, pink jerseys decided to break them out on us. And then, obviously, we know we're not going to win. Right? Like, it'd be different if we could win the game. Obviously, we can't win the game. And it's bad enough. You've got James and Reggie Bonifon, who was their backup quarterback at the time. But
was he a receiver that year, too?
He was a receiver. He was a receiver. James, Ryan White, all those guys.
They had a lot of talent.
So, yeah, that was that.
Honestly, when I was at Trinity, it always was Trinity Mel I thought was a bigger rivalry than us and St. X, because we beat St. X 78 times. We played them in football. But Mel always gives a tough match.
There's going to be a flood of X. People just hammering the text line.
Good. Go for it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you
so
off.
So, what year did you graduate?
2018 is when I graduated from high school.
So, Mayo was like a dominant team by the time, like, they had won probably two state championships by the time you were graduated. We were just like just now bubbling by the time I graduated, because I came, my sophomore year was Coach Wolf's first year. And then he went to the state championship his first year, but he didn't win it till like a few years later. And then now they're like the perennial state team.
Like, honestly, it was like best. My sophomore year is the year you guys won. We played in the playoffs, and we decided to go for two in the playoffs against Bell, and we missed it. Because I think someone got injured before, like our kicker maybe.
Yeah, I remember that.
And
yeah.
There's like, and you guys ended up going to state, because it was like, whoever won that game, we knew it was going to state.
Yeah, yeah.
So. My senior year, we were in Trinity's district. Mm-hmm. It was back when it was just four classes, state, yeah, which classes. Is how it should be in Kentucky.
There's six.
There's
six
not
is
enough.
Crazy. Six is crazy.
Is nuts. And then we had like 18 districts, you know, like it should be, and only half the teams made the playoffs. But that was Brian Brom, sophomore year.
Yes, told me, yes.
They had DeKees May and Tayshawn McBroom, and yeah, they were really, really good.
Really good. Did you guys know going into the game, like, he's the guy?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Did you know, like, yeah. Had everybody, you already heard?
Everybody knew who Brian Brom was growing up.
Did he? You
know?
Did he play the year before? Like, was he? Did he play as a freshman?
He wasn't a starter. As he a wasn't freshman, starter. Okay. I don't think. But we weren't in the same district when he was a freshman, so I don't remember though.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
But he was already really freshman well-known. This year. That was like the first freshman to ever start. Yep. So Brom,
I forgot his name.
Oh yeah, it could be because I just said James was the first freshman.
Zane, it's like Zane.
Yeah, Zane. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Zane Johnson, I think.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, yeah.
He can play.
But yeah, they. He was. I had one of my best games on defense of my life, and I was back there in like a second and a half constantly. And Brian had already made his decision and thrown the ball, touchdown. You know, it was just it was the whole game, but it was something else. They had like Dylan Theory was their tackle. He was like 6'9", 300 pounds. Now, Northwestern.
Spencer 18 is that
Rondell's
class? Rondell.
Yeah, okay. Rondell and I graduated together.
Yeah, I heard like the you know
it's your buddy.
Like,
No. I did him up once because I was on the
text all the time.
My senior year, I was on the film crew, so I videotape practices, games, and whatnot. But so I did him up a couple times, but no, I was not buddies with him.
But he couldn't play his junior year until the playoffs, right?
Yeah, because he transferred from New Albany.
Oh yeah, New Albany. Yeah, I know
so he
something like
didn't
that.
Play until the playoffs because like, the 1 year, which I think high school transfer like restrictions is stupid because you only have 4 years to play.
Yeah,
like college, it made sense a little bit because you could use a fifth year in college. Mm-hmm. But that's another topic for another. But yeah, Rondell didn't play to the playoffs by junior year, and they just lit everyone up.
Yeah, he scored like 16 touchdowns in four games or something stupid.
He was unreal.
So that was the thing. The state championship game, you guys, like, so during that time, I was at Western. So I was in college. And so I had heard, like, about, there's like, oh, they got this kid, Trinity, that's so good, but he can't play, whatever. So I'm like, okay, whatever. But then he was able to play in the playoffs, and he starts scoring all these touchdowns. So I'm like, let me go see this dude that everybody keeps. Yeah.
He was committed to Texas my entire senior year, and then he flipped to Purdue at the All-American game.
Yes, I remember
But yeah,
that.
He was committed to Texas the entire season. Like, man, this guy's going to just destroy the Big 12 next year because they don't play defense.
Then he went and destroyed the Big 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
All-American as a freshman.
Unbelievable.
What's going on?
Texas says, seeing Vic Anderson and Deuce Finch on the same field at the same time was an insane experience.
They were good.
That.
They were good.
He also said, 08, X-Grad only lost to Trinity once.
Ooh.
So there you go.
There it is.
There you go. By the way, I just wanted to, before we moved on, Tim brought back up the Burger King Nuggets discussion.
Oh, my goodness.
The worst. I mean, I'm...
So that's what anybody, you guys were talking about before I got here.
No, that was from last... Oh, from Wednesday.
From, oh, like, from Wednesday.
He's bringing up topics from a couple days ago.
I see. Okay.
Or Monday. I don't even know. But I got to tell you, like, y'all, I'm a big dude. Obviously, I'm not very discriminating when it comes to... I am, though. But, like, you know, I'll eat. If I pay for food, I'm probably going to eat it. Burger King Nuggets are the worst thing I've ever had in my entire life. Like, every like 5 years or so, they'll come back out with like 10 nuggets for 99 cents.
You're
like,
one, yeah.
All right, it can't be that. It's got to be worth 99 cents, you know, for 10 nuggets. It's got to be worth it. And it's like touching the stove over and over again. Like every time I do, it's like, that's a waste of a dollar. I just wasted a dollar and 5 cents.
Are you finishing the whole 10?
No,
are you,
I've never gone past two nuggets. Ever. They're so bad, they just go straight in the trash. And I know it. It's like I'm putting the... It's like buying a scratch-off. You know, like I buy the Burger King Nuggets. I know I'm not going to eat them. You know, you just buy them. You eat one, you go, all right, and you give the rest of the dog. And then you're like, well, I don't think she's eating them either.
I was going to say, how many times should you go to the vet because you gave her the Burger King Nuggets?
She did have pancreatitis last year. That's probably why.
10 for one is insane. Like 10 nuggets for $1. Like, what is this? This has got to be possum meat. Like, what is this rat food? Like, rat meat. Like, there's no way. Like, that. Like, I remember this is like going way back. Like, you know, when they put that tax on like cigarettes. Yeah. Right? Like, there was this heavy tax on cigarettes. So, like, There was a brand, I can't remember what the brand was, but they sold like cheap cigarettes. And my granny was
American Spirits.
I can't remember which one it was, but she was like, yeah, those must be the cigarettes they drop on the floor. You know? So I'm thinking like the 10 for one got to be the nuggets that they dropped on the floor or, oh, you know, this. Because why are they so cheap? Like, what just made all of this so cheap so I can sell 10 of them for $1. There's something going on there.
Texture says BK's nuggets were good like 15 years ago. No, they weren't.
No, they weren't.
I tried them 15 years ago. They were bad.
It's like, beware of anytime something goes on sale at a fast food joint.
Yeah, every 5 years. Come on, man. Awful. I just want Taco Bell to bring back their blackjack taco. That's all I really want. That's... Do you remember that?
I don't.
And their volcano taco?
Volcano, I do.
Those
two
were incredible. Like, I love spicy food. So the blackjack was like a... pepper jack sauce.
Okay.
It was delicious, but the volcano, that
sauce. I remember
sauce,
the volcano,
really good.
Definitely. 100%.
And then, like, there was the secret menu for a while when they still had the fire sauce or the volcano sauce, so you can get it. It just didn't have a red shell. I was like, fine, just throw some volcano sauce on that thing. Let's do this. No, you don't have that anymore. Life's changed. We used to be a proper country.
We did. This is true.
But anyway, so now that we've gone down memory lane. Yeah. We've had a lot of the preseason stuff's coming out. Are we gonna do something gas back at 4:30?
Oh hell yeah, we are.
All right, cool. I'm just making sure before we get started on this because I think it's gonna be a long discussion. So we get some videos out with Russ around the team.
Yes.
And obviously we know that Peyton's on staff now, so we get the constant presence of one Peyton Siva around this bunch, which can only be a positive.
Absolutely.
But I can't tell you how much it warms my heart when I see the two of them together.
Oh my goodness.
Around this bunch of kids, man, because there is no greater resource we have than pretty much that entire 2013 national championship team. But those two guys, I feel like, have a perfect relationship and a perfect, like, they each bring their own set of like values, you know what I'm saying? Like intangibles that can impress upon these kids. And there's nothing that makes me happier.
Absolutely.
Than seeing those two around this team.
Man, it's awesome. I think the quote from that video, the one that stuck out to me, was Peyton said, Russ came in as a two-star recruit, and now number two hangs in the rafters.
That's right.
Like, come on, man. Like, how do you not, like, get fired up after hearing that? Because it's true. Like, Russ wasn't this heralded kid. He wasn't a McDonald's All-American. He was small. He's very small. He's still small.
He's
still small. And it's like, he's like
Peyton was always kind of a bulldog. You know what I mean? Like, built like a bulldog.
And he's had extreme athleticism. Yeah. He was a highly touted recruit. Whatever.
Yeah, he's McDonald's All-American.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, he was a guy out of Seattle that the national stage knew about. Russ wasn't. Like, he was out of New York, and a few folks knew him up in New York, and Patino and his staff recognized that. And it wasn't easy for him either. It wasn't easy for either one of them. Even though Peyton was highly touted, he had his struggles his freshman year too.
Yeah.
And Russ, I mean, both of them both said They contemplated transferring, contemplated leaving, and to see like them be able to pour into this year's group and to see them be able to pour into the future Cardinals, the guys that we'll be cheering for, and how they spoke about in that video, like these guys are from New York and Seattle. They chose to be here. I know I've heard you talk about this a number of times, like having guys that this city, this program, this place means that much to them, even though they're from, you know, thousands of miles away.
They're like two great examples of it.
Yes. Yeah. And to show that, and Peyton said in the video, like, this city will love you back. Mm-hmm. If you pour your love into it, they will love you back. And to have them be representatives of that and hanging around the team, Peyton being on the staff and really, like, building that type of camaraderie, man, you can't buy that. That's nothing that you can pay for. That's not an endorsement that you can pay for. It's an endorsement that's real life. Like his whole, like their families, their lives are here, even though they could go anywhere in the world. And it's awesome to see. It's very awesome to see.
Yeah, like you said, the, well, go ahead.
I'd also see, like, we don't even, like, they, let's go on championship. So we'll love them forever for that.
Yeah.
But, like, we've seen teams like Damian Lee, Trey Lewis, obviously, extenuating circumstances. We love those guys. And, like, this year's group has the chance, because of what has happened at the program the last 5 years, to just push back to respectable, like, make the tournament. And even if they fell short this year, but they, you know, looked good doing it, and it's like, man, we can debate when it gets there. It's like, oh, we got snuff in the tournament. We'll love these guys because they helped us get back on the trajectory for this program.
Absolutely, man. It's just about, like you said, pouring into the program, pouring into the fans, the city, and trying your hardest. Like, show us that you're trying. Show us that you're playing hard. Show us that you care. You know, some of that has been missing for a while now, that we weren't always so sure if everybody involved with the basketball program always cared. And if you show that you care, you're playing hard, you're winning games, and guess what? It's not going to be easy because your coaching staff not making it easy for you. They're scheduling Tennessee, and they're trying to schedule Memphis, and they're getting some great games. So they're giving you a platform.
I can't tell you how much I love that.
I do too, man. It's like, nah, we ain't going to Tennessee. No. Coleman said we're not ducking no smoke. Like, if we're not getting games, it's not our fault.
Yeah.
And like, it's that we're going to give our guys the best opportunity to showcase their skills, not just for this, for the city, for U of L fans, but to the nation. Like, you'll get a chance because when Tennessee comes in here, they'll probably be a top 10, top 15 team in the country come November. Yeah. And you'll get an opportunity to arrive early, to show that, hey, this isn't Louisville from the past few seasons. Like, this is a brand new Louisville team with a brand new attitude and a brand new style of play and a brand new winning culture. You'll get the opportunity to make your mark on a national level, and I love it, man.
It's kind of similar to use the football example, like the Notre Dame football game in Satterfield's first year, where it's like, expectations are so low. Like, just look respectable against Tennessee, like you did against Notre Dame for that first half. And it's like, again, if you can beat Tennessee, let's go. But it's like, if you just look respectable, like you said, get back on the national stage, get people talking, because we can see there's not the level of the last 2 years.
Yeah. See, I agree with you to an extent, but I will push back on the expectations are so low, because I feel like Kelsey broke that on the first day.
Oh, okay, yeah, you know, I agree. I mean? It's not an exact analogous example, but...
It's a different level program.
Yeah, and also, it is.
Kelsey allowed us, like, day one, he was like, look, we're going to be really good, and I expect that out of us, and you should expect that out of us.
Yes.
But I do love the fact that, piggyback on what you were saying, like the two stories of Russ and Peyton are so different.
Yes.
But yet, like, both of them have found a permanent home in Louisville, you know, where Russ has, you know, Mr. and Mrs.
Bourbon
mm-hmm. and has an established, very Kentucky, very Louisville business that he has. His home base is here. And Peyton obviously works for the program now. He mm-hmm. lives here.
And owns his own businesses here.
Owns his own business. Yeah, it's here in town. Yeah, like, exactly.
He doesn't plan on going anywhere. And like you said, once you start establishing businesses, your home bases for your businesses, like, you don't plan on leaving. Like, you don't plan on going anywhere.
And obviously, Luke is here. Absolutely. You know, and his family, he's built a family here and a life here. I know Van Treese is still in the area. Mm-hmm. I know, like, I'm sure there's others that are still around. Shane is in Narnia. I don't know where Shane is.
Like, I know Payne played overseas, but does his kids really know anything besides Louisville here in the States?
I don't know.
Because he got married here.
Probably not.
I mean, they're young. I'm pretty sure his dad lives here, too. Like, I know his dad hangs around. Like, he's mm-hmm. around quite a bit.
Yeah.
I think he was around during TBT last year, mm-hmm. and he's been at Louisville games, yes. you know, in the last 5 to 10 years. But yeah, somebody texts in if we can get Gorgie around, and it's like, dude, Gorgie works for the Spurs.
He does.
Which is awesome. And remember when he said he wanted to build a hospital?
I do.
And I don't know if he's built the hospital yet, but I know he's been known for his foundation that he started in 2015 that provides medical supplies and equipment for his home in Senegal, mm-hmm. you know, as his home country. So I don't know if he's built the hospital yet, but he's made inroads in that direction because we all know he's like the greatest human being ever to live. By the way, do you know what the word Gorgi means?
I don't. I do not.
I feel like I heard this before, but I don't.
I think it means old one.
Wow.
Or something like that.
That's interesting.
Yeah, the old one.
The old one. Okay.
He was an old soul by the time he got here. I mean, we all knew. He was wise beyond his years. It's funny. Like, he was a competitor. He was incredible. But he was so even.
All the time.
Nothing ever bothered him. It's,
yeah. Like that, is that meme or that video of like Rick just ripping laughing. Him? And I think that was the Russ effect. Like, I think that was like Russ just, you know, Rick would just go crazy, just face red, twirling that ring.
I
and
just
Russ
want to know
like,
what Rick
whatever.
Said. You know, because it made him laugh. Hey, Gorky, just bury his head in his jersey.
I mean, probably said he's going to chop his body up and send it to his family or something, because that's what he told Quince Lazinski. Quince was like, yeah, Rick told me he'd chop my body up and send it to my family. And I was like, is he serious? Like, I don't want to mess this up again, because I don't want to see if that's true. Like, I know he's coach, but like, it feels like there's a hint of truth there.
I kind of believe you.
Like, yeah, if anyone can do this, it's the Italian.
Exactly. Yeah. In New York, too. I'm
listen
like,
to you. Now, you're going to get Bob Valvano mad at us for the Italian stereotype.
I'm a quarter Italian. I think it's allowed.
Are you a quarter?
Yes, I'm a quarter.
You're not ever on the Italian rankings in here.
Oh, man.
I'm secretive about
this.
They don't put me in the Italian rankings.
They were so pissy about that.
It's not for me. I mean, look, do I look Italian? Italian?
Man, I ain't Italian. You know?
Like, we might be the two least Italian people at the station right here in this booth.
And oh, James Black over there.
Yeah, so, okay, fair enough. Yeah, we got to bring James. Yeah, that's it. That's right. It's the three of us. We don't have a conversation. We have a place in this conversation.
Not at all.
This is anti-Italian discrimination.
That's for you guys. Yeah, I'm Irish, German, and a bunch of other super white folks. In Northern Europe.
But not Italy.
That's not Italy. That's not Northern Europe, you know? Not a drop.
Not even a little bit.
All right, I think it's about that time, isn't it, Spencer? I think it's about that time. 8150-939 is the phone number. You know that this works better if you guys call during the break and get us a couple contestants. We have Stump the Gas Bag coming on the other side. This is 93.9 The Ville. I'm Dave Skull. That's Jeff Lightsey. Call during the break.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
You're listening to The Drive, presented by Fitness Market, right here on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Dave Skull and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. I'm your host, Dave Skull, along with Jeff Lightsey, filling in for Mark Ennis. We don't have any...
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
What's her name? Rebecca Black?
Rebecca Black.
Rebecca Black. Yep. Okay, yeah. I remember
James'
that.
Cousin.
Yeah.
I definitely thought that when I first met James.
I see the resemblance. I do.
I've been waiting for the sequel to Saturday.
Oh, my goodness.
She hasn't come out with it yet. It's been 15 years, so. You'll be happy to learn that Tanner has found the Friday button.
I've heard.
And now he plays it, and I'm proud of him. You're doing a good job.
Anyone that does this show has to know. They're on Fridays, they have to hit the button.
I try, and like forever, I'd be like, hit the button.
Yeah.
Hit the button. And they don't know what I'm doing.
They have no clue what you're
And Mark's
about.
Over there just serene, and I'm like, you've got to ruin his life. Hit the button.
And there's the Kawhi laugh that always gets played on this show.
Coach,
soon-to-be NBA champion Ross McMahon's.
Ross McMahon's. Sounds like the Kawhi laugh.
Oh, well, yeah, you told me this before.
It's Ross McMahon's, but it sounds like Kawhi.
It's equally awful.
It's fantastic. 81-50-93-9. Get in here and stump the gas bags. I mean, if you don't – look, here's – I'm going to throw it out there. If you all don't call and get us at least two contestants.
Two. We need two of them.
We have prizes, guys. You get prizes. It's not just for pride. You get prizes, and you get to make us feel like dumbasses. Come on in.
At least me, because Dave knows everything.
Oh, I
he knows
care.
Literally everything about everything.
Well, how come I get beat then?
Like, literally knows everything about everything.
I remember things that don't make me money, Jeff. Like, anything, like, this is what trivia brains are. Mm-hmm. Anything that literally can't be used in any setting other than trivia or, like, a class that you're never going to remember from college. Like, I could be a college professor in a lot of different subjects.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, but I can't. Like, I could do TED Talks on things that nobody cares about. Do a TED Talk on the 1989 Oakland Athletics. You know, I could do.
I feel like it'd be great to teach, like, a Harrison Ford movie class.
Yes.
Harrison Ford movie class.
My favorite actor. Yeah. Harrison Ford is my favorite actor. It's because I love, I mean, Indiana Jones. He could have done nothing else in his life, and I would have.
And that was it. Indiana Jones.
The greatest character in American cinema history, in my opinion.
Indiana Jones is, I mean, when you're able to make 50 movies about one guy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
we don't count the fourth one.
Okay.
That never happened.
It didn't?
No.
I've never seen any of them. So, like, like, that's the thing. Like, that's what I just
even if it's not your cup of tea, you gotta, like, at least Raiders of the Lost Ark is one of the most perfect movies ever made.
See, now I got to go home. Okay.
Yeah. Watch, I'm not going to say watch them all.
Okay.
But
the trilogy, for sure.
Yeah, watch Raiders of the Lost Ark, and you'll probably want to watch Temple and Last Crusade. Don't ever watch Crystal Skull.
That was actually the first one I saw.
Oh, my God.
I saw, like, half of the fourth one when I was a younger kid, because my cousin liked the movies. We're like, let's watch this one. And I was like, this is terrible.
But I came back
and watched the trilogy. It was good.
This movie came out in 81. Like, you're not that old, buddy.
I'm 40.
Yeah,
but I grew up on it. You know what I mean? Like Temple of Doom came out in 84. It came out, like, 3 weeks after I was born.
I see. Okay.
And then Last Crusade came out in 89.
So who got you into it, I guess, is my question.
I saw Raiders on TV when I was a kid.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I saw Raiders and Last Crusade and Temple, and what we did, and this was a little before your time,
mm-hmm.
and maybe when you're a kid, you might have done this too. We recorded movies off of TV on video cassettes.
I'm not that young. I'm not Spencer, so yeah.
You're not Spencer. No, I know you're not, like, young, but generations change so quickly, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But when we had HBO subscriptions for, like, little spurts of time, we would record every single movie.
That makes sense.
Every single one. So I knew the HBO entry, the intro with the big letters, you know, because that's how I saw home cinema.
Did you have, like, your TV guide to let you know, like, when the movie would come on?
You had to.
Okay, here we go.
You had to. I'd sit there and watch the guide channel for, like, an hour.
Yeah, because it scrolls really slow.
And I'm like, you don't have to show me the guide to all the music station or what all these stations that nobody has.
Just 16-17, because those HBO channel, yeah.
TRL's on at 2 o'clock.
Right, like, and then, cool. Like, you'd miss the first several again, and you're like,
I know you gotta
back.
Wait.
Yeah, gotta wait.
We do got one contestant,
at least. We have one contestant. All right, we'll go ahead and start then.
Our guys know a lot about sports.
Clay Travis is still a dumbass.
There is porn on the television here.
I love a giant turkey leg.
I saw Louisville's offensive line get stoned.
We want to level the playing field. Give their brains a real test.
Let us play this game for a pipe.
How has that baby not made her hotter?
And we want you to get involved.
Curse my balls.
So here's your shot. Can you stump the gas bag?
Spencer, I'm going to let you bring him in.
Okay.
Yeah,
since Mark's off today.
Yeah.
We did get to hear his voice in the intro, at least.
I don't want to touch the thing. I don't. Well, you can mark that.
Yeah, we'll just save that for stuff I won't edit later. Anyway, we got Mike up first. Mike, how's it going, man?
Great. How you guys doing?
Good, Mike. Who do you want? Me or Jeff?
I want to see what Jeff got.
Oh, all right. Ugh, Jeff, yikes. Step up to the plate,
all right,
baby.
All right. We're getting started early here. Let's go first. We'll start with what the show's normally about, sports. If the Celtics win the NBA championship tonight, they'll become just the second team in NBA history to go 8-0 on the road in a single postseason. Who's the only other team to do this?
Gas bag.
Go ahead.
Is it 0-1 Lakers?
was the 0-1 Lakers. Woo! Even did the year in there. I didn't even know.
Yeah, I remember that.
Man.
I'm a Lakers fan. It's
Mike. Yeah. That felt like that was that just grooved one for there.
It's like you said, random. Being a Lakers fan, I know they went 16-1 one playoff. The one loss was at home in the finals. So like, I was like, oh, that makes sense.
I didn't know you were a Lakers fan.
Sorry, Mike. Yeah. Spencer didn't know you were a Lakers fan.
Yeah, no, because I'm going to avoid Jets or Spurs questions today.
Yeah. No Jets or Spurs questions for me.
I'm competing against home cooking, so
that's fair.
You rigged the system.
All right. Yesterday, the documentary Bratz about the Brat Pack was released on Hulu. Which member of the Brat Pack directed this documentary?
I don't even know who the Brat Pack is, Mike.
So I can name all the Brat Pack. Yes. I can't tell you who did it.
I could name them all too, but I couldn't tell you who made it.
Well, one of them.
I will go Dean Martin.
That's the rat.
See, I know the rat bag, Mike.
Never mind.
Sammy Davis Jr.
Emilio Estevez?
Was not Emilio.
Who is it?
McCarthy.
I know who did it now.
Andrew McCarthy is the guy who directed it. Yeah. Jeff's up 1-0.
I thought you said rat.
My apology. I need to work on the enunciation, I guess. Anyway, let's go with some college baseball. Kentucky is in the College World Series for the first time ever. Who was the last school to win the World Series in their first trip to Omaha?
I know now. I'll take a guess. Gas bag.
Go ahead.
Let's try Florida.
It's not Florida.
No. Long Beach State.
It's not them. You got a guess, Dave?
I might be way off here. Was it Virginia?
It was not Virginia. I think it was one of their first trips.
It was one of their first trips, though, right?
Yeah, no, it was Coastal Carolina. They won in 2016. It's such a
2016.
Such a random title when you look at it. But baseball has a lot if you look back through the years with all those California schools.
Yeah.
But Mike, thanks for playing, man. Jeff has got the best of you this time.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thanks, guys.
I think somebody tried to call while you were on with Mike.
I muted it because I didn't want to have
I got you.
Call back,
Call right back, guys. He'll answer. We need more contestants. You don't want Jeff and I just to go back and forth here.
Mm-mm, not at all.
And if we don't get another contestant, we will play the KP sound from last week.
The one where I told him he was on the right page?
That's the one!
Page is the wrong book.
Which book are you reading?
Exactly. What are we doing here, guys? Like, what is happening?
We got a caller.
All right, we got Daniel up next. How's it going, man?
It's good.
What up, Daniel?
Do you want to take on the greatest day. Biscuit? Or Jeff, who is undefeated today.
Let's go with Jeff.
Oh, man.
Daniel, did you say it was a long day, man? Are you doing all right?
I'm doing all right. This is a long day.
Do you want to put that guy on hold real quick before we start with the questions? Sorry, Daniel. We're going to second so we can get this other guy on hold and don't lose him, and then we'll start with you. All right, buddy?
Sounds good.
All right.
All right. First up, let's go. This one last one I didn't require, but this time I do want year and team required for this one. Who was the last team to get a sweep in the NBA Finals?
Guess bag.
Go ahead.
17 Warriors?
It's not 17.
That's all right, a tell.
It was.
I don't even know. Because I don't watch the NBA that much anymore. Guess bag. We'll go 16 Warriors.
It's not 16 because they didn't win it that year. It was the Cavs.
It
was the 18 Warriors.
Warriors.
As soon as he said not 17, I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah. I should feel like it's not that one.
Yeah.
Anyway, no one got it, so no harm, no foul. Let's go with June 13th, 1995. Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill album was released. One of the greatest albums in the 90s and ever. What song was her first single off the album and the winner for the Grammy for Best Rock Song?
You got it, buddy.
I got it. I'm pretty sure.
I know Biscuit knows it.
Of course.
I can see her singing it too on MTV, but I can't think of the name.
I have no shot on that one. I can't even Yes.
You guys just both on the towel in here?
I am.
Yeah.
That'd be ironic.
It was not ironic.
It wasn't?
No. You ought to know.
Yeah, that should have been the, yeah.
I mean, it's a great album. You can't go wrong with
it. Well, it was between those two.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
those are the two biggest singles from the album. So.
All right. Let's throw some hockey your way.
Oh, man.
Man, you were really. Yeah, no, I think the Lakers question, he was like, you know what? I gotta skew. Yeah.
I gotta go
complete. Oh, you want it easy? I'm turning it down all the way.
Oh.
Of a chance of getting anything else.
Oh, boy.
The rest of the show.
Nobody's got a chance.
He's like, college baseball and hockey. There you go.
Dave looked, he said hockey, and Dave looked at me like, he just gave me a death stare. I was like, you know what? You got me, Spencer.
I mean, this one you just need to know the A-May team, really. The Florida Panthers are going for the sweep this weekend against Edmonton. This would be the first sweep in the NHL since this team accomplished it in 1998. Name them.
Let's see. Westbag, Detroit Red Wings.
You're right.
I love it.
Baby,
I love it.
Damn.
We got a winner.
That was good.
Hang tight.
Nice job, man.
Nice job, Daniel. Hang tight. We'll get a prize after the
Hopefully, Daniel, hopefully that made your day a little bit better, buddy.
Good job.
Yeah, buddy. It did. Yeah,
awesome.
It did.
Have a good weekend. Thanks. Man, that was a good pull.
What's going on? I was gonna guess Tampa Bay Lightning. I don't know.
Whenever we go 90s, I always think Penguins or Red Wings. I probably would have said Penguins and would have been wrong. So
yeah, that was good job. Half court buzzer beater.
Someone dropped.
They dropped?
Yeah, I thought we had some, but then I think they dropped. But yeah, we still have a couple questions.
Yeah, we can get one more in there. Gas bag if you want.
We can do that too.
Yeah, we can do that. That's fine.
All right, let's start with. Let me see what question I have left. Jaylen Brown is the betting favorite for Finals MVP this year.
Got him at +700 before the series started.
That was a good value. I should have looked into that.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Who was the last player to be named Finals MVP without making an All-NBA team in the same season?
Gas bag. Oh.
Let's go, Jeff.
Is it Iguodala?
Was Iggy.
I guess.
Yeah. When was the last time, so like right now the Stanley Cup Finals, NBA Finals, both up 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time both of those seasons ended in a sweep? I say this for the very end because I thought it would be you two. So.
Yeah. And you, the last sweep was 98?
Last sweep for hockey, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you see, I didn't even know that.
Well, he just said it.
Oh, yeah, he did.
The Red Wings, yeah.
Yeah.
'98 wasn't a sweep.
Jordan didn't win in the sweep. He won. That was the 4-2. That was the iconic shot over Utah.
Gas bag, '93.
It was not '93.
I'm trying to think of the sweep.
Who won
in the
'90s?
Jordan didn't sweep in the '90s.
Yeah,
he didn't.
It would have had to.
Did Hakeem?
It would have had to been
either of those.
Well, did he sweep? He didn't sweep the Lakers in '91.
Because Hakeem played the Knicks and the Magic, right? Those were his two finals.
Oh, yeah. I think he did sweep the Magic. So it had to be, that would have been
94, right? Or was it 95?
Five.
95 was the Magic. Before he got traded to before he went to the Lakers.
Yes. So I'm guessing 95? Gas bag 95? Yeah, I was thinking it had to
Can
be.
Can I get like a percentage?
It was a team effort. Yeah, there.
Can I get a percentage?
It was a team effort, yeah, because they did sweep Shaq and the Magic in 95. That was the only. I was like, well, that one.
We do have a special guest that wants to get on the action today.
Uh-oh.
It's our good buddy, Matthew McGavick.
Oh! What's going on, McGavick?
What up, Matt?
Hey, you said you needed some open lines, and I'm driving around.
Hey, do you have three questions left?
You can make it work.
You can make it work? Okay. Yeah. Who do you want? Who do you want, Matt?
Give me Biscuit.
There we go.
Oh, boy.
There we go. Uh-oh. He stood up for you, Matt.
I will say these are all pop culture questions. I have run out of sports.
Good luck, Matt.
Yeah.
You're going to need it.
All right. So I was saving a Brat Pack question for Dave, hoping he could get it. The Brat Pack got their name due to an article that was written by David Blum. The article ended up being written about a group of the actors, but it was originally supposed to be a profile piece on just one of the actors. What article was it originally about?
Hey, what actor?
What actor, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with Jeff here. I don't have a damn clue.
Well, I guess I'll just talk through it real quick. I don't think it was Molly Ringwald. She was the youngest of the group. I don't think it was about her.
Yeah, that's all you, Biscuit. I don't even have a guess.
I think it's either Emilio or maybe it's either Emilio or Rob Lowe. Emilio Estevez. Yeah,
I was trying to like not do any facial recognition.
Yeah, you did a good job. You were stone faced. I've actually read article about the Brat Pack in the last 12 months, like about how they got their name and all that stuff. I think it was when they were making the documentary.
Yeah, I was looking this up because I was like, let me put a couple questions together about this.
It was like the early star on that, and then it kind of morphed from there.
Yeah, it was like he was partying with like Rob Lowe and Judd Nelson. It's like, okay, why not have him?
And Ringwald was younger than them, so she didn't really hang out at the clubs and stuff like the rest of them did.
All right. This was a movie. I think you guys...
Jeff doesn't care at all. Yeah.
No clue. It's like somebody could have been speaking Chinese. Yeah.
I think Matt's got a shot with this one, though.
I remember seeing some of the movies, but I don't know the Brat Pack, so it's like...
11 years ago, this superhero film directed by Zack Snyder was released. It was the first film in the DC Extended Universe. Name it.
Justice League?
It was not the Justice League.
Was it a gas bag Superman Returns?
No, I don't think that was part of the...
Or the Man of Steel.
Man of Steel,
that's what
I
was trying to say. Sorry.
It was the Superman.
I don't really like the DC
universe.
Movies,
anyone does.
Man of Steel is what I was trying to... Superman Returns is literally like the 1982.
That was an older one.
Yeah, sorry.
It's like Christopher Reeve or something.
Man of Steel is what I meant.
Yeah, Superman, but it's not...
Yeah, that's what I meant.
All right. Earlier this week, the NBA. All
right, you got to get this one right, Matt.
Yeah. Earlier this week, the NBA world lost a legend with Pat Riley passing away at the age of 86. What Oscar?
Jerry West.
I don't know why. The question about Pat Riley. I don't know why I wrote about Jerry West. The question about Pat Riley.
Was like, Pat Riley died?
Yeah.
Hey, I killed off Pat Riley too.
Good lord, man. It's like we lost Bill Walton and Jerry West. That wasn't enough for you?
All right. Well, this is about Winning Time because you guys were talking about Winning Time, or Mark was at least. What Oscar winning actor portrayed Pat Riley on the show Winning Time?
Man, I haven't watched the whole name. It was
Adrian Brody?
Yeah, it was Adrian Brody. Brody. Yeah,
I knew that.
McGavick. I'm sorry. I don't know why I just mixed the two up in my brain.
That's all I knew that. It just didn't come to me.
Yeah, McGavick, thanks for playing, man. We'll talk to you later.
You don't have another question? We're tied.
Is it tied? I thought it was 1-0.
I got the first one.
Oh, yeah, Estevez. That's right. Yeah. Okay, I do have one last question. I'm sorry. I was trying to declare Matt the winner.
I didn't say the right Superman movie initially. So.
All right. On this day in 1996, this film starring Jim Carrey as the unnamed title character was released.
Unnamed title character.
Gas Bag the Mask?
It's not the Mask.
I was going to guess that.
96. Unnamed title character?
Yep.
It's only one other guess.
Oh, Gasback, the cable guy?
What's the cable guy?
There it is.
All right.
That movie's so creepy.
I've seen it once, and I was like, that's enough for me. Honestly.
I didn't think of it.
Hey, Matt, try again, man. It's always appreciate you calling in.
Hey, let me brag on Matt real quick. Dude, this dude has become quite a hitter.
Man.
For our Gasbags team. He is crushing it.
I'm not gonna, talk myself up too much, but
you talk it up, man. I'm very proud of you.
Yeah, Nick said you guys are 4-1 since you stopped joining, since you left the team.
Well, my only loss was to a team that was in our upper division.
Yeah, we lost one game to a team from a different league and still on our record.
Well, that sucks.
We're about to hit the murderer's row the rest of the top of our league, so we'll see how that goes. All right, Matt, appreciate it, man. Have a good weekend.
You too, y'all.
Yes, sir. See you, Matt.
All right. That has been another edition of Stump the Gas Bag. We had a winner. We had one winner.
Daniel? I'll get during the break. We're about to go to break soon.
Good job, Daniel. But
shout out to Daniel.
Jeff, you did a pretty good job today.
I got a couple feel good about right? It? You know, yeah, right, I'm good. Feeling good. You know, I'm not the trivia master, but, you know.
But you got your lane.
Hey, appreciate it.
You know
it.
What's up?
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to go. We got some other stuff we're going to talk about on the other side. This is The Drive. I'm Dave Skull. That's Jeff Lightsey. We'll see you there.